Roger. Would you mind going in here now? Okay, so I guess this morning I should have wore my jungle boots instead of my Easter egg costume. But this morning, we're looking at the last week of Jesus' earthly ministry from John 19. And as we did do that, of course, it's Palm Sunday. We remember, just like we did with the children, reenacting that wonderful day when Jesus was finally giving some of the due that was due that he deserved. Let me try that again until I get it right. The due that he deserved. And so he, you know, it was imagine the scene, right? It's a triumphant entry. You know, all of the excitement and the people out there, Hosanna, Hosanna, which means save now. John in chapter 12 records them saying, blessed is the King of Israel. And Luke recorded them as saying, blessed is the King that comes in the name of the Lord. And peace in heaven and glory to the highest. That kind of reminded me of the angels when they came in Luke chapter 2 and announced the birth of Christ. You know, peace on earth and glory to God in the highest. What a wonderful time. What a wonderful celebration of that. But we do know that there were a lot of highs and lows that week for Jesus. That was one of the highs, obviously. But then he came into Jerusalem and he, you know, on this high from being out there and on Palm Sunday, and then he came into the temple and he had to deal with the drama of the Pharisees and the religious leaders who treated the Son of God so nasty. And then the high of the Last Supper and the great teaching that Jesus did, washed the feet and instituted the sacrament of Holy Communion. What a great high that was. But then you had the betrayal and the mock trials and all that terrible stuff that they did to him, and then the crucifixion, which he was lifted up on the cross to defeat the sins of the world for everybody. And to give everybody that believes in him the hope of everlasting life. To give us hope. What a tremendous high. What a tremendous victory that we have in Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. What a wonderful high. There's some highs and lows. To be sure, when we talk about that last week, the Passion Week, as some people call it, it's a lot of complex thoughts and emotions and feelings about that. Because the experiences, and I'm just going to move this so I don't keep stepping on it. There's just a lot of complexity to all of that. Because what was bad was also good. And what was good was also bad. And so there's a lot to it. The meaning in all of this is very deep. And it's very important for everybody. In fact, I dare say, because I want to talk about the crucifixion today and Good Friday, it's arguably the most important day of all time. In my humble opinion, the most important week of all time. Now, I do want to point out that Resurrection Sunday is the first day of the next week, So, well, maybe that was the most important week of all time, the most important day of all time. Maybe it's a tie. I don't know. But let's think about that. Let's talk about that. And if you've got your Bibles open, it's from John 19. Picking up with the verse we left off with last week, finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus, and carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and him with two others, one on each side and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had prepared a notice and fastened it to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write, King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be the King of the Jews." And Pilate answered, "What I've written, I have written." When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, divided them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's divide by lot who will get it." This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled that said, "They divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment." So this is what the soldiers did. Let us pray. Almighty God, we praise you for the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, as we look at this, we understand that there is a lot of highs and lows to this. But the highs and lows are there for us, so that in the highs and lows of our life, you'll be with us. Thank you, Father, for that love and that grace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So this is what the soldiers did. They nailed Jesus' hands and feet to wooden planks. And humanity hit an all-time low when we nailed the Son of God to a cross for our sins. But you know, it's been all uphill from there. Much to sort about with the crucifixion. Notice these ups and downs that came with the cross. Sorrow, joy, grief, praise, despair, thankfulness, hurt, relief, pain, freedom, and much more. That all came with the cross. That all came on the cross. And you know, we go through all of these experiences in life too. Every single one of them. And more, because we're living in this world. You know, living in this world sometimes feels like the worst roller coaster of all time, right? The most violent, up and down, side to side, loop-de-loop, doop-de-doo roller coaster of all time, right? Even just thinking about that makes me nauseous, seasick, right? The last time I rode on a roller coaster, I got sick. So I can't do that anymore. So, but gosh, it just makes you sick because you just never know, right? You never know what today might bring. It might be the worst sorrow of all time. That might be the greatest joy of all time. You never know. You never know what that phone call is going to bring, right? You just don't know. But the great thing is, Jesus took all that to the cross for us. He took the sorrow and the joy. He took the grief and the praise. He took the despair and the thankfulness and the hurt and the relief and the pain and the freedom and all the rest. Jesus took all that to the cross with us. God gave us Him for that. And now, in the strange yet fascinating way that my mind works, when I thought of the phrase, God gave us Jesus, I thought of the country song by Blake Shelton. I think it's Blake Shelton. I could be wrong, probably. But if not, it's a great country song. God gave me you. And as I read these lyrics, I thought of Jesus as the you, and that God gave us, God gave me you. And part of that says, and listen if this doesn't sound like a Christian song. I've been a walking heartache. I've made a mess of me. The person that I've been lately ain't who I want to be. But you stay right here beside me and watch as the storm blows through, and I need you. Because God gave me you for the ups and downs. God gave me you for the days of doubt. And for when I think I've lost my way, there are no words here left to say. It's true. God gave me you. God gave me Jesus. And God has given you Jesus for the ups and downs. And look at the ups and downs that Jesus experienced for you. And that brings us back to knowing that and how it impacts us in a tremendous way. To know that Jesus died, that God gave us Him for all of these ups and downs in life, it sure hits home, don't it? For our own sins, God gave us Jesus. For our own failures, God gave us Jesus. For our own days, God gave us Jesus. That the Son of God, the Son of God died for me. The Son of God died for you. Man. You realize your own sin and that He died because of your own sin and my own sin. So how do you feel about that? I mean, what should I feel about that? I feel sorrow and joy, right? Isn't that odd to feel that at the same time? Let me explain this a little bit further. And to do that, let me talk about the undergarment. So the undergarment was seamless. And I've looked this up and I've studied it all I possibly can. And I really don't see the point of why this undergarment is even mentioned in the Bible, except to say that it fulfills a prophecy from the Old Testament. You know, there is a minimum of 300 prophecies that Jesus fulfilled from the Old Testament. This is one of them. But here's kind of what I got from this. So the undergarment was undivided. All the rest of his clothes, they divided. But they didn't divide this because it was a seamless garment. And apparently back then, this was a really nice piece of clothing. And they didn't want to ruin it by cutting it up. So anyway, they didn't. And I got to thinking, you know, because Jesus died, we now have Him in our lives, despite the fact that all these ups and downs in our life are undivided. Right? Think about this. In our life, sorrow and joy they intermingle. Grief and praise room together. Despair and thankfulness, hurt and relief, pain and freedom, they're all part of life. It's undivided. We have it all together. But the great thing is through all of this, because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, we are not crushed. We are not crushed. We may despair at times, but we keep going. Why? Because the central figure in all of this is what? Jesus. The central figure back then in all of what was going on through the cross and Him dying on the cross and Him being raised from the dead, the central figure is still Jesus. Well, the central figure in our life, when all of these things are bound up in one, right? It's still Jesus. Even though we're going through these ups and downs left and right on this worst roller coaster of all time, guess what? It's still Jesus. And He's still with us. And He still won the victory. He's still overcome. He's overcome the world. And you know what that does? That puts a song in our heart. A song in our heart. What song does that put in my heart? What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. So let me ask you a question. Are you on that roller coaster? You are. We all are. Why? Because this is how life on earth is. And if you really must know the reason why that we're riding on this roller coaster, it's because sin has distorted God's good creation. But God is going to make all things right one day. That is the hope that we have. Dr. Chris Lohrstorfer, I hope I've pronounced that correctly. I probably not. Actually, for his sake, I hope I've pronounced it incorrectly. But he said, he reminded us of St. Augustine's words. We are Easter people. And then he added, our life is defined by the resurrected Jesus. If you're going through some dark days, look to the eastern sky. There the resurrected Jesus offers hope. He offers you a new covenant built on His finished work and experienced through the poured out Spirit. Our life is defined by the resurrected Jesus. What a great statement. Now we can pick that apart six ways from Sunday, but let's go for the low-hanging fruit here by pointing out the ups and downs of that statement. Our life is defined by the guy who came up from the dead, who came up from the grave. You're not defined by anything else. You're defined by that. There's nothing down about that. That's all up. So regardless as to what the down in your life is, you are not defined by it. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you are a child of God, and nothing, nothing, nothing will ever keep you from going high with God. Amen? And that's how God can be with us in sorrow, joy, grief, praise, despair, thankfulness, hurt, relief, pain, freedom, and all the rest. But you say, Brother Tom, how can we possibly know and possibly have joy knowing Jesus went through all of it, that, and it was our fault? And that's because God, through His infinite grace, has given us forgiveness of sins. It's as if we've never sinned. Think about that. Because of God's grace, it's as if we've never sinned. God gave Himself so that we could be up with Him in heaven forever. And one day the cross and the sorrow for all that down and all the downs that we've ever had will be replaced by joy. And that's not a threat, that's a promise. God is going to make all things right one day. And I look forward with hope to that day, don't you? Won't you look up to Him for the way home to God? Because He is the only way home to God. Let us pray.